And once again, what I'd like for you to do is take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. We're using this verse to guide us in a study when it comes to the local church. Yes, Old Testament. I hope and pray that we'll see a little bit more why we're using that this morning. But His Church, His Way, Part 3 is what we're looking at. And I'd like for us to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes. We have one chance, one life. Lord, we have eternity that is before us. Whether or not we realize the weight, the depth of the choices, the decisions that people are making this day, the fact of the matter is, those choices will echo for all eternity. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be wise, not only to salvation this morning, but also to sanctification, being set apart for You. Lord, I pray that You would find hearts that are eager and hungry for Your Word. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. So, once again, Moses' father-in-law is speaking to him, speaking to Moses, and in helping him regarding setting up how he can deal with the children of Israel, he makes this statement in verse 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. How many of you like history? I love it. I love history. All through the history of mankind. You take your pick. The children of Israel. Any other people. The local church. What you wind up having is the Lord, when He is able to deal with those people, commanding them regarding teaching. And in that teaching, you find this. The way you walk, the work that you do. When you grew up, your parents dealt with you to one degree or another with this very theme. The way that you walk, the work that you do. The passage, again, that we're dealing with echoes in the New Testament, and I hope and pray that you see that as it ties in this morning with what is mentioned in the New Testament. Now, we've already discussed this, the reason why that we have the Sunday school, the reason why we have the services. This service this morning, we're looking at the Word of God when it comes to the local church. Tonight, it will be once again on the book of Philippians. Hey, be cautious. But praise God, you can be yet confident. Then there's the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I praise God for how our church comes together. And it prays. We've had a great crowd the last several Wednesdays. That is important. Have you found out that prayer really does help? When it comes to talking to the Lord, listen, you've got to get that. You've got to understand. In Acts chapter 6, what was it that the leadership of the church said? Hey, we need help in dealing with tables. Why? Because we need to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. It didn't say programs, it said prayer. It didn't say, you know, dealing with whatever. It's talking, we're talking to the Lord. We're bringing Him our burdens. Did you have a burden this last week? Did you? Anybody? See, this is what it's about. This is why we bring this to the Lord. We bring these things to the Lord. So for that reason, we've covered this in the last couple of weeks. But again, coming back to the thing that I first mentioned when we started this, that company that had that sign going out of business forgot what our business was. I pray that we never, ever forget it, especially during the summer. Now look, I enjoy taking time off. We took last Sunday off. But we ought to be careful when it comes to taking time off from the Lord. If you're not here, praise God, get to church somewhere. That church that we went to on Wednesday night in Mendocino, you know, there were four of us, and that's including my wife and I, that met for prayer. But it was a great time. That church is struggling like crazy. I mean, in the midst of, like I told the people Wednesday night, we got to Mendocino, and everybody loves my wife. It was tremendous. All these signs everywhere, Bernie. Some of you will get that. But look at the reason for teaching. There's two things mentioned. The way they must walk and the work they must do. Now I want to tell you something. Please hear this. In saying that right there, even in reading it, you know what we just had? Faith and flesh have squared off. Faith and flesh have squared off. In every believer's heart, there is a battle. The fact of the matter is, in everybody's heart, when somebody comes up and tells you, this is the way that you need to live, this is what you need to do, there's a little something inside of you that goes, nobody tells me that. Now, again, like somebody mentioned, the brother Dave Bushy used to say when he was here, y'all aren't like that because you're all visiting from heaven. Anybody here visiting from heaven? I didn't think so. But seriously, here is where the battle is. Your flesh, my flesh, square off with the guidance of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to do what? To teach us how we ought to live and what we ought to do. And folks, that's the way it is. I mean, that's ground zero for the Christian life because we don't like to hear these things. Go to the book of Galatians, if you would. I'll show you. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Great book. If you have never read the book of Galatians, please do so. But in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 16. Paul says this, "This I say then, walk," that's your manner of life, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 7? The good that I would, I do not. That which I would not do, that do I. Remember that battle that Paul went through? That's what Paul is alluding to here. He's saying, look, listen, we've all got this battle. This is what we fight. And so this is what you do. Walk in the Spirit. Remember, in Romans chapter 6, it is the mechanics of the Spirit-filled life. Romans chapter 8, the dynamics of the Spirit-filled life. What's Romans chapter 7? It's the monkey wrench. It's the flesh. That's why when we trust Christ as Savior, we have got to learn this. You don't live the work of God by the flesh. You can't do it. Here's a person. They're walking with God in the Spirit. They're doing right. But did you know that you can do right in the flesh? There's all kinds of people that fake it. Here's one problem. All it is one more step, and next thing you know, you're doing wrong in the flesh. So this is what Paul says. Again, go to verse 16, Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Watch this now. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. I'm going to prove it to you right now. I've told people this before, and it's not original with me. I can prove to you that the Bible is true with one word. Israel. You take that for what it's worth. You might disagree. That's okay. I can prove to you that the battle in the Christian walk is true. I can prove to you that you struggle the same way I do. Here we go. I want each and every person to read your, I want you to read your Bible the first thing you do when you get up tomorrow morning. There's something inside of you that says, what are you doing telling me that? You know that to be true. And even if you're already doing it, you struggle. It's something that you have to do. Hey, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How many of us are actively sharing our faith and telling people who, by the way, without Jesus Christ, are on their way to hell and a Christless eternity, how many of we are sharing the gospel with our neighbors, with strangers? See, if we really, truly believe it, this happened many years ago, and I've used this illustration before, but there was a man that was dealing with another man in prison in England, and he was giving him the gospel, and the man stopped him and said, first of all, preacher, I don't believe a word that you're saying. But if I did, I would crawl on my hands and knees on ground glass around London if that was true. So you see, we wind up having this battle. Now the question is, what are we going to do with it? Because when the Scripture says, do this, when the Scripture says, be this, we wind up dealing with our flesh. That's part and parcel why we have the local fellowship known as the church. This is what happens. Faith, saving faith says this. Praise His name, I'm a new creature in Christ. Praise God. This world is not my home. Hey, you know what? Like Paul, I desire to know Him. Flesh says this. You know, I'm glad I don't have to worry about hell, but I have my own plans. You see, nobody knows me and my wants and my desires better than I do. And besides, I have liberty in Christ, don't I? I can do what I want. That's flesh. Faith says, you know, I need to listen to the Lord because after all, He is Lord. My Lord has gifted me and called me to do His will. He has told me to look to the fields, they're white to harvest, to love the brethren, to do good to the brethren. Flesh says this, I'm going to listen to my own heart. Flesh says, I want to unleash the power within me. I heard this guy and he gave this great speech and I've got so much to offer. Except there's one problem. The Lord says, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. This isn't popular with the world. There are places right now that are filled with people that are hearing good, touchy, feely, you're okay, I'm okay messages. But that's not Bible. That's not Bible. The way to heaven comes through the cross. The way of joy is that through absolute surrender. Can I ask you this? What is your view of God? What is your view of God? Is God holy, righteous, loving, good, or is He cranky, peevish, and He really doesn't care all that much for you? I'll guarantee you, this is what takes place. We do one of two things. We judge God either by our experience or by the Word of God. By experience or by the Word of God. I had something happen this last week. It was hard. It was very, very hard. I sat down in this chair right here. I sat here and prayed with tears in my eyes. And I said, Lord, please, You have got to save me from myself. because I know how I want to think. I want to have a pity party. How many of you have ever had a pity party? It's a lousy party. It's a terrible party. First of all, you're the only one that can come to it. And you don't even want to be there. You see, what you do is you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm going to realize that you love me even if the experience has told me, nah, a loving God wouldn't let you go through this. I found out this. God is good. Always. You see, so this is the deal. When we wind up hearing the Word of God, hey, this is the way I want you to live, and this is the work I want you to do. We do one of two things. We either trust our instinct that is sin-tainted, and we decide that we're just going to trust our own gut, or we look at the Word of God and we say, you know what? I can trust you for my salvation. I'm going to trust you with my life. I can tell you this. I have talked to many people, and there's not one person that honestly, truthfully trusted Christ with their life that could look me in the eye and say, he blew it. Every one of them, hey, God is good all the time. All the time. So the Lord knew that we would need this kind of thing. The Lord knew that we would need a local place. Christians would need a place where they could come together and they could not only share experience, but also pray each other through that experience. They needed instruction. They needed encouragement. They needed discipline. They needed fellowship. They needed prayer. They needed love. That is what this church is about. Loving the brethren. That's part and parcel what it's about. So that's why we have the local church. So, very quickly, these two areas. The way they must walk, the work they must do. The first thing that we see when it comes to the way is walk worthy. Walk worthy or worthily. Go to Ephesians 4. You're there in Galatians. Just go over real quick, two books over to the book of Ephesians. One book, excuse me. Look at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, stay there at that verse. Stay there at that verse. Take these two down if you'd want. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Pleasing who? Pleasing the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now you might ask yourself, wait a minute, the Lord wants me to act a certain way? Yes. Well, that's unprecedented. Have you ever been to the military? I mean, I went into boot camp and immediately everything I did was wrong. Everywhere I dressed, every way I dressed was wrong. So they had to give me, right, Bob? They had to give me different clothes. I had to walk straighter. Some guy with all kinds of chrome on his shoulder, I had to do like this too. What's his thing? I can't wait for Jennifer Ruth to come back, by the way. Jennifer Ruth is now a major. She just got it just this last week. The last time I saw her, Brother Green, she was in the back of my pickup with my kids. Just messing around, you know. And now, these kids are getting older. Would you guys quit doing that? You're making some of us feel really... But all of a sudden, what I'm doing, you know, I've got to be different. Hey, when you go to school, when they had discipline in schools, you had to act a certain way. When you grew up in home, how many of you grew up in a home where your parents said, you can do anything you want? How many of you got spanked when you were growing up? You mean somebody told you how to act? And yet God is at fault when He comes and tells us? No. Our God knows us. Why? Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5, 16, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, it's not for our glory, it's for His. Because He's the one that died on the cross, not us. Because there are people that are living and dying without Jesus Christ. That's the reason. So, what does it mean to walk? It means to conduct oneself, one's behavior, to order one's behavior. But then He says, walk worthy. Listen to this. What does it mean to walk worthy? It means, the adverb of it means this, in a manner worthy of. The adjective form of that word, worthy, means this, having the weight of or weighing as much as another thing. What does that mean? Paul is exhorting the Ephesian saints to see to it that their Christian experience, please listen to this, that their Christian experience, the Christian life they live should weigh as much as the profession of Christianity which they make. Is God a holy God? Live holy. Is God a loving God? Love. Is God a righteous God? Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Is the Lord seeking to save that which was lost? Seek them. See, in other words, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Make sure that your walk talks as well as your talk talks. If you want me to repeat that, look it up online. New creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Holy Spirit indwelling. That is what we teach. That is what we know to be true about us. In other words, they are to see to it that their practice, they practice what they preach, that their experience measures up to grace. My grace, the Lord said to Paul, is sufficient. You can do what you can do. The word vocation refers to the summons. The Lord called us into salvation. And He says, now that you're a child of God, live as a child of God. So this is what we are to do. Walk worthy of the calling that we've received. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's how we're supposed to live. Now the question is this, is that what we're going to do? Now, you got to admit that's a good question. When I was sitting in that chair this last week, I struggled. I'm not kidding. I prayed, let me ask you, have you ever prayed this? Lord, please, save me from myself. I don't know about you, but I can get angry. I don't know about you, but I can get bitter. I don't know about you, but I can get discouraged. Now, anybody here, you like that? You really are visiting from heaven, aren't you? We're all like that. And all of a sudden, something comes along. I mean, isn't it amazing? Satan can take something that ought to impact us, say, about this much, and it feels like this much. I mean, wham! It hurts. And that's when you get alone with the Lord. You say, Lord, I need help. I need help. And you know what? He sends it. He sends it. In fact, next Sunday morning, it was reflecting on this. I had already planned on doing this, but I thought, you know what? Praise God. I think, Lord, You've shown me it really needs to happen. There was a message I preached last December on a Sunday night. We had just started a series through the book of Philippians. I preached a message out of Philippians 1:6. That message has been such a blessing to my life. I mean, I've gone back to it. I've chewed on it over and over. I preached it twice while I was in India. I've gone back through it. I've kind of honed it a little bit. I'm going to preach it again next Sunday morning. The reason is there are some people here that didn't hear it. I want you to see why it has been such an encouragement to me. I'm telling you, in this day and age, with everything that's going on, right, brother? With everything that's going on, and we're seeing it. Folks, you have got to crack your Bible open and start taking a look at some prophetic themes in the Word of God. We are watching our Bible come to pass in that world right now. And so many Christians are like this. Right? Now, this is something that we've got to wake up with. Because we've got unsaved family that needs to come to Christ. We know people that need to get right with God if the clamps come down. When I was a young person, I'm kind of getting away from this a little bit, but forgive me, we'll get back there. When I was a young person, I thought, what am I even living for? You know, the Lord's going to be coming anytime. You know, there's no reason for me to prepare for a long life. No. The Bible says, occupy till I come. In other words, you prepare to live to 90. But if the Lord comes in 90 seconds, so be it. But you prepare to live to 90 years. You look for the long look, but you are daily, daily, daily seeking His wisdom. Daily seeking Him out. Seeking to be obedient. That's what we need to do. Let's continue. Walk worthy and then walk willingly. Walk willingly. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Now, we can kid each other about all different stuff about ourselves. But if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, there is something that you need to look at and assimilate by faith. Look at the last verse in 1 Corinthians 2. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Watch this now. What does it say? But we have the mind of who? We? You mean we do? How many of you have ever sought wisdom? You know wisdom can be there. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ. When you go out, the mind of Christ will show you a sinner. The mind of Christ will open your eyes to the fields that are white to harvest. The mind of Christ will say no to sin and yes to righteousness. That's what the mind of Christ will do. And you have that mind. So not only walk worthily, walk willingly. What was that mind? Listen to Jesus Himself. John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And then finally, in John 6, I came down from heaven to look around and see just how much you guys have blown it. Is that what he said? I come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Listen, without Jesus Christ, every person in this room is going to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. And you not believing it isn't going to close the door, put the fire out. I'm telling you right now, based on this book and the power of God, that you need Jesus Christ and you need Him today. You absolutely need Him today. But with that in mind, please understand this, that the one who died for us was saying, I do this because of the Father. We ought to be doing the very same thing. That's why we're called Christians. Little Christ. No wonder the Lord said, through Peter, to pastors, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's what this man is doing right now. Not for his glory, but for God's glory. You need to understand this. The Word of God, this book right here, is here to teach you the way that you should live and the work that you must do. Every person. Every person. The church is called to these efforts. The work we must do. The work they must do from the verse there. This is an expounding place. Write down these verses, would you please? 1 Peter 5:2. Once again, feed the flock of God which is among you. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It's an exhorting place. It's also an expounding place. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. We're almost done. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. A familiar passage. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfect there means literally to equip. There's an equipping that you get when you trust Christ as Savior. And we'll be looking at that at the last message out of this series. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, literally for ministering work, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of everybody that is in Christ. When? Or till when? Till we all come into the unity of faith, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a finished man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Why is it worth the effort? Why do we come? Why do we give? Well, it's commanded, but again, why? What is the long-term goal? Watch this. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? What's the word? Deceive. Let me ask you, are there people out there that want to deceive you? They're out there, folks. They're there, and they want you. They want your family. They want your kids. They want your grandkids. Some of them are in high office. Others of them are in a school. Others of them are in a pulpit. Others of them just live in your neighborhood. But they're out to deceive. What is it that keeps that from happening? We gather together. We open God's Word. We expound. We exhort. We encourage each other. This is why we do this. It's an exhorting place. It's an equipping place. What we just read, it's an exhorting place. 2 Timothy 4:1. Paul told Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. I was in Home Depot this last week, and I was being helped by this gentleman that works there, and I had on my Faith Baptist shirt. He says, oh, are you a preaching pastor or a teaching pastor? This is going to be an interesting discussion. I said, well, you know, the pastor teacher there, it's one and the same person. He says, yeah, but are you a preacher or are you a teacher? He says, I like somebody that's a teacher. I said, well, that's interesting, but Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the to me, the preaching and the teaching, they're blended. They're right there. We're being taught, not because I'm so smart, but because God is good. We're being taught things, but you are to herald this. It's not a discussion. It's preaching. That's what this is all about. Being exhorting. Now, I believe the man is saved. I really do. But because of a well-known man that is known as a teacher, that's what he has grown up with. That's fine. No problem. But the fact of the matter is, we need to preach. Why? Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, middle of it. But after their own lust they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Now look, we talk about people like Joel Osteen, and somebody might come along and say, "Ah, you're just jealous." I've got news for you. I am not jealous in the least. I wouldn't be Joel Osteen standing before God for anything. Absolutely not. When you absolutely sell your soul to wicked thinking in order to be popular, again, I'm standing back. I'm standing back. But the fact of the matter is, this is why there have been people like Bob Shuler and Joel Osteen and others that have been so popular. I feel sorry for you, because there's some key illustrations that I have that when it comes to a particular point, I haven't been able to find anything better. Maybe what I need to do is find one. But this one is the one that I keep thinking about it. I was a youth pastor in Hollister. We were there 3 years. Not too far from where our church was, in the town of Gilroy, there was a church that always had advertising in the little newspaper. And they always had this quote by this lady: "Such and such a church makes me really feel good about myself." Wait a minute. Week after week after week, they're making you feel good about yourself? That's something akin to an itching ear. You know, there has to come a time, if you're struggling with lust, the preacher gets in the pulpit and he preaches against lust. And you don't feel good. You feel like David with Nathan in front of you, where Nathan is going, "Thou art the man!" There's going to be times that when you have struggled with the sin, that the preacher's going to come up and preach on that sin. And you know God is speaking to you. You know it. You young men, you're growing up in a society where there is so much that is open to you. There's every possibility that there are young men, even men, period, in this building that are dealing with pornography. I've got news for you. Pornography is sin, and let somebody say amen. I don't want you to feel good about that. I want you to feel convicted about that. That's what we're here for. We are here to exhort and encourage. And by the way, if you're dealing with that, based on the Word of God, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to turn from that and to leave it. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to do that. Oh, you can't do that. Just did, based on God's Word. Listen, don't you understand that the times are here where absolute destruction of God's people and this culture, I shouldn't say the word culture, mankind, because that's what really Satan wants. I mean, it is in full force, period. Week after week, we get that from the internet. We're hearing it from news, from anywhere. We're hearing about what's going on like that. So this is, because of that, this is an exhorting place, but it's also an exalting place. Now would you please go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. The Apostle Paul said this: "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. See, that's where it comes back to. Remember what I said from Exodus chapter 18. The way they must walk, the work they must do. You see, in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, we find out that that's all wrapped up in the will of Christ. The one that said when He came, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. That is the way and the walk and the work. Now, He talked about the enlightening of the eyes. Can I say something? And then we're done. If I have gone through this, if we have opened up the Scripture and read the Scripture, and you have heard this, and you have seen it in your Bible, and it meant little or nothing, you need to pray. If you're born again, you need to pray for your eyes to be open. I don't know how else to say it. I really don't. I don't, you know, it's got to be the Holy Spirit of God. This is it. This is the time when God is preparing this world for the final act when it comes to the church age. We need to be on board. It could be that you don't know Christ. Please, in His name, trust Him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, without You, we can do nothing. This preacher can do nothing. We can't even hear You properly without You. Lord, I pray that we've heard You. Lord, what takes place, again, must be done by Your Spirit. Lord, I ask that Your Spirit would work.